Okay, we're up to Perek Hey Pasuk Yud Gimel. We are in the middle of the letter. We are in the middle of the letter that Tatnai and Shesar Bosnai sent to Daryovish, complaining that the Jewish people have begun to resume building the Beis HaMikdash 14 years after it was halted by Koresh. And they sent a letter, they approached the people that were building the Beis HaMikdash, and they asked them, what are you doing after 14 years since the construction stopped, now at the time of Daryovish, after Koresh died, after Achashverosh died in the second year of Daryovish, the construction resumed and with the encouragement by the command of Zechariah, Chagai and Zechariah, and they assisted them and they encouraged them to continue building, to resume building the Beis HaMikdash without the permission of Daryovish. And shortly thereafter they were approached by the enemies Tatnai and Shesar Bosnai and the other people in the region. What are you doing? Who gave you permission to continue building the Beis HaMikdash? And it says in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had siyata d'shmaya ve'ein elo kahoma havas al sadeh Yehudoyeh. They had siyata d'shmaya, that they did not stop them, put an end to the construction. They allowed them to continue while the matter was sent to Daryovish for clarification if it's true that they really do have permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And we learned yesterday part of the text of the letter. Now we are continuing. Pasuk Yud Gimel Baram Bat Bishnas Chado L'Choresh Malka Di Vavel Choresh Malka. Now even though the Pasuk Yud Gimel is continued, even though once upon a time, years ago, from time immemorial, we had this beautiful Beis HaMikdash that was built by a very great king, namely Shlomo HaMelech. And this building has been here from time immemorial. It's only because of our sins, we angered Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the Beis HaMikdash in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and it was destroyed, and we were exiled. But, Pasuk Gimel Baram B'Shnas Chadol Choresh Malka Di Vavel, in the first year of Choresh Malka Di Vavel, of Bavel, which is very curious, because the Choresh was not really the king of Bavel. Koresh was the king of Paras. So here, I don't really have a good answer. I didn't really look that much, that's the truth. But maybe we'll see in Rashi. Rashi says, Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel. So I think there's more, at least from Rashi's interpretation, there's more to understand how all of the kings, how they controlled the region, how they were perceived as being kings of different nations. We do not associate Koresh as the king of Bavel. We associate Koresh as the king of Paras, not even the king of Modai. Yet it says here in this pasuk, Baram B'Shnas Chadol L'Choresh Malka Di Vavel. It's a very, very interesting pasuk. It's clearly in this pasuk, he's the king of Bavel. We'll see a little further. Koresh Malka, Koresh the king, some to aim, he issued an order that Beisa Eloka Dino, this house, the house of this God, this holy house, Dino, this Livne, shall be built. Let's see Rashi, just short Rashi, Baram, Ach Bat B'Shnas Achas, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he'll show you the place. Ach B'Shnas Achas, the Choresh Melech Bavel, the Choresh, the king of Bavel, Tzorich Im Godol. What's going on here? Rashi makes no mistake about it. You would think, if you look at the Pasuk, so you can play with the Pasuk, you would say, Choresh Malka, Di Vavel, who controls Bavel. I wouldn't necessarily put those two words together, even though it's a munach esnachta, connected to the mercha tibcha. Okay, but in Ksuvim and in Neviim, you have a lot of leeway. Not like Chumash. But even in Chumash, you can play games. But certainly in Neviim and Ksuvim. And no, but Rashi makes it very clear. Don't make any mistake about it. Koresh, the king of Bavel. We have to look into this a little bit more. Koresh, Malka, Samtei, Mi'ishud. So back, that's all Rashi says. Melech, Bavel, Tziva, Koresh, Bedover, Hazel, Livno, Sabayis. Let's take a quick look at the Mitzudos, Baram, Av, B'Shnas, Achas, the Koresh, Melech, Shol, Bavel, Nosan, HaMelech, Gezeras, Oymer, gave permission, Livnos, Es, Space, Elohim, Hazos, to continue to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yudalit, the Af. Furthermore, not only did Koresh give permission for the Mikdash to be rebuilt, the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, both the gold and the silver. Now the order is also very interesting. It says here first gold and silver. If you go back to the beginning of Sefer Ezra, it was silver and gold. So that's a very curious change. There must be some significance why suddenly here in Ezra and Parakei we're changing the order. It could be that the reason why the order was silver and gold and there was we were enumerating the numbers. And in the, when we wanted to list the numbers, so you list the larger number first. And then you list the smaller number. There were many more utensils of silver than there were of gold. So when you want to give numbers, you always start with the larger number and the smaller number. Here we're not giving numbers, we're just giving a general description of all of the utensils, both the chash of the utensils and the less distinguished utensils. So we order is gold and silver. That can probably be a very simple interpretation, but I'm sure there's much more deeper things. Rashi reversed it. Let's see. You're right. Excellent. Pasuk Yudalit. Okay, let's first finish the pasuk. We'll read the Rashi one moment. Di the halva v'chaspa, the gold and silver. Di Nebuchadnezzar hanpek min heichla di v'yushlem, which Nebuchadnezzar has removed. Hanpek means to remove from the heichel of Yerushalayim. Ve'hevel himo leheichla di vavel, and he brought these utensils to the heichla, the temple of Babel. We discussed this in the beginning of the Sefer. What exactly did Nebuchadnezzar do with the utensils of the Beis Hamikdash? According to the symbol understanding is he brought them to his pagan temple, and they were used for Avodah Zarah, which means they became Aser Behana, and they were no longer fit to be used for the Beis Hamikdash unless they were kashered. How do you kasher them? The only way something that's set aside for Avodah Zarah can be once again fit for divine service is if a goy, the goy himself, the non-Jew himself, is mevatel it from Avodah Zarah. For example, if a non-Jew dedicates property, objects, for idolatry, and then a Jew comes along and conquers the region and finds those utensils, there is no way in the world those utensils can ever be used for the service of Hashem. Because once a non-Jew dedicates them for the service of a pagan idol,
impossible.
They're completely sanctified, they're designated for that purpose, and you cannot remove that. A Jew cannot remove that contamination, that designation. However, a non-Jew can remove that designation. The one who designated it can remove the designation. Not only can he, one of his companions, another non-Jew. That's what?
If he sells it,
they sell it, or even they say, "I'm no longer there." There are many Dafim Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah that describe the process. So that's why there's a lot of repetition of verbosity in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, describing that it was a two-step process when Koresh wanted to restore the Ukalim to the Beis Hamikdash. He knew the Gemara. He knew that the Jews would not be able to use it. So first he took it out of the temple, out of the pagan temple, and he set it aside. It's no longer set aside for Avodah Zarah. Then, second step, second part of the process, now let me give you these Kalim back to you as a gift. You shall return it. You shall take it and bring it back to the Beis Hamikdash. It was a two-step process. So here in this pasuk, it makes mention that Nebuchadnezzar, he took the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash and he brought the Vehevel Himo, he brought Himo them, Leheichla Di Vavel, which simply means to a temple that was designated for idols. And okay, other commentators don't know like that. They learn simply that this goes back to the beginning of Sefer Ezra, and goes back to this discussion, also goes back to Sefer Daniel, that it's not necessarily so that Nebuchadnezzar took the kelim and set them aside for purposes of idolatry. Leheichel, in those psukim, Daniel, and in the beginning of Ezra, means in his palace. In his palace. Heichel sometimes means a place that's miyuchet for Avodah Zarah. It sometimes means just the palace of the king. And we had even had that discussion with regard to the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean, Heichel? We had that in the beginning. We had it also. The heichel can be used many different ways. So you can learn this pasuk two ways. He brought them leheichla di vavel to his heichel in Babel, either to his palace, his home, and he used them for serving utensils, whatever. He put them in storage, or he set them aside to a temple, a place that's set aside for serving idols. And of course, it went through this process of being designated as objects used for Avodah Zarah, if they ever were designated at one point in time. And now Hanpeg Himo Koresh, he took them out, he removed them from this Heichel, them, Koresh, Malka the king, Min Heichla di Vavel, from the Heichel in Bavel, Vihivu L'Sheish Batzar, and delivered them, handed them over to Sheish Batzar, which was Daniel. Daniel was called Sheish Batzar because Hashem saved him from or from, we had this in the beginning, he lived through six tragedies in his life, six traumatic experiences. Daniel, the three exiles, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Tzidkiyahu, the three stages of the process of Golos, and then being thrown into the den of lions, watching his friends, or hearing about his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, being thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, which there's much discussion, where was Daniel at that point in time? There's a lot of talk about that, the Gemara talks about that. And then the sixth traumatic experience was when he was a young man in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, he had a dream, and he did not even know what the dream was, and he told his wise men, if you do not tell me what my dream is, and what its interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to kill you all. And indeed, the process began. He began killing all of the wise men. And then Daniel said to the chief of staff, what's going on? And he said, because he had a dream, and he doesn't know what the dream is, and no one can provide interpretation, and therefore he is now, he's suffering this traumatic experience, and he's killing out everyone in the palace. He's called Sheish Batzar. Okay, Sheish Batzar Shimei, Difechos Shimei, Difechos Difechos Somei. Now there's a sin here. My guardhouse, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome.
You're telling us this
is an enigel from the Kapuchin Tzeleba.
You're telling me
we have such choshev yichas here. We have an enigel from the Gra, enigel from the Kapuchin Tzeleba, and everyone else over here has very choshev yichas. I feel very humble to be in such a collection of such choshev people. Okay, so we have over here, we're up to Perek Hey. Perek Hey Pasik Tesvav. Now this word, before we get into the Rashi, Pecha means a governor. Sheish Batzar, Daniel was appointed as a governor of the region, a governor of the whole region of the Aver Hanar. Like someone mentioned, the whole world was divided into three parts. I think you told Rabbi Yosef, you told me this yesterday. The world was divided into three parts, and Daniel was appointed to be a governor of one of the three parts of the world, one of the three regions, which was the Aver Hanah, the region, the Middle East, that part of the region on the other side of the Euphrates, towards Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim and Moab, that region, Aver Hanah. So Someh with a sin means to appoint some.
Yeah.
Some. However, the Minchashai, there is a discussion. I saw this in the art scroll, Ezra. The art scroll, he writes, they write there that the Minchashai, there's a discussion of what is the correct nikut. Is it a sin or a shin? There are some versions of Sefer Ezra, some traditional versions of manuscripts that have it shomei, which means name, not set. So that would mean that the word shomei is repeated twice. L'sheish batzar shomei. Sheish batzar is his name. Di fechosh shomei. I think it must be also shomei, or maybe it's even shomei, who was also called by the name of the governor. He was known as the governor, and he was known as Sheish Batzar. So he had multiple names. What?
Named a governor.
Okay.
Same thing.
Position. So it would have the same meaning, right? Exactly. But the question is it a sin or is it a shin? So the Minchas Shai says that is correct. He feels in his research, I assume, he says that it should be with a sin, someh. But it's interesting to take note. A lot of things in Nevi'im, the Mesorah is weak. We have a very weak, we discussed yesterday with the Aleppo Codex. The Machlekes say the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. There are two sides of the disagreement. Is that Bizman Hazeh? We have the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex. There are many indications that this is the real deal. This is what the Rambam used Ben Osher to write the Sefer Torah, and a lot of the things there are not like what has been written traditionally for the last number of hundreds of years. As far as psuchos and stumos, only talking about Nevi'im and Ksuvim, psuchos and stumos, and like different examples we gave yesterday, and Avchaim Kanievsky is of the opinion that you should change all the Sefer from Shmikan Lahaba. Avchaim Kanievsky, me Godulon, Avchaim Kanievsky, we should change Mikan Lahaba. like the Aleppo Codex. And many other Gedolim are very much misnaged. No, tradition is tradition. Don't change what we've done. Yeah.
The Aleppo Codex has Nikudos?
Yes, it does. I believe I heard that there's a website, I don't know what it's called, you probably can look it up, there's a website that has the entire Aleppo Codex photocopies of the entire thing online. You can view it, and that part of it is missing. We know from Mr. Gladden, he has that article. I was always under the impression that everyone, I will admit, that it was the 1948 and the riots in the Syria after the founding of the state. There was riots, and part of it, the most important part, was burnt. Chumash Bereish, the Chamishe Chumash Torah, and Megillas Esther, the most important parts, because those are the parts that are very controversial. I mean, there are certain things that we really need to know. And everything else remained intact, and then it was smuggled. Oh, there's so many stories what happened, how it got there, but it was assumed that it was burnt. And now they seemingly know for sure, according to what I've heard, it wasn't burnt, because there's no even what they thought was ash, was mold, they've done all this testing, and people have just chapped, there were different people chapped, a piece here, a piece there, and some pieces indeed have turned up, but the vast majority is missing in action.
Very
good article. CIA and the Mossad were involved, they still are involved in trying to track down the missing pieces of the Aleppo Codex, which is priceless. It's priceless. Okay, right, but over here, it's interesting, curious to see if you go online, you probably can see online, is it Soneh, like the Mincha Shai, or maybe really it's with a shin would be his name, Shineh. So if you have time, I have to find where it is, that site, but interesting idea. Let's see over here the Rashi. Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit. The Af Monaya. Now he's describing, now we have the letter, it says that Koresh, not only did he give permission for the base, for the Jews to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, he also gave instructions that the Kalim shall be returned. The Kalim shall be taken out of the palace and be returned to the Jewish people to bring back to Eretz Yisrael for the Beis HaMikdash. Raf Monaya, Klei HaKodesh shall kesev vizav, as Mr. Glatter pointed out, that it's the reverse order. In the pasuk it says gold first, then silver, but Rashi says silver and gold. And we mentioned in the beginning of the Sefer, when we enumerated the exact number of Kalim, there indeed silver came first. So there must be some significance to this as well. We all know that, you know, there's a lot of popular drush that kesef represents rachamim, and gold represents din. Then, so it's interesting that when we're describing in the beginning of Sefer, when we're describing that now is the Pekida after 70 years from Golus Yehoyakim, Hashem remembered Klal Yisrael return. It's a very great Eis Rotzon, a time of Rachamim, and the Kesef Kisufim, the Rachamim comes before the Rachamim prevails upon Din. Here it says gold first, but Rashi says silver. Asher hoitzi nevuchanetzar min ha-heichol b'yushem Yushalayim, v'ayilicham le-heicholo shebe-bavel, and he brought him le-heicholo. So Rashi seems to be learning that heicholo is in the mundane palace, because the king does not live in the temple. Adrab, that's one of the big differences between the pagans and Klal Yisrael. By Klal Yisrael, a shul is a shtibel. We try very much, many degrees, to synthesize.
What was the key up
to? Yudalit. We try to synthesize Kedusha with our mundane activities. We should bring Kedusha into every possible area of our life. By the Goyim, that is traditionally the most difficult thing for a Goy, to synthesize holiness with their mundane activities. By a Goy, there is the church, and there is the home. And in fact, I always had charata when we did the end of Daniel. When we did the end of Daniel, remember we went through this whole many psukim describing going through Christianity, the history of Christianity. So there was one pasuk there that really hits the nail on the head. No pun intended. That it brings out this idea that in Christianity they serve Hashem only in their temple.
Then you're under Caesar.
But not outside the temple.
If you're under God, then you're God.
But outside the temple, you know, then you live a life of efkeres. Hayluchot v'hayluchot. So over here, the fact that the Rashi says, v'alicham lehecholo, he brought them to his temple. I don't know, you learn both ways. To his temple, he took him to his palace of Babel. L'hoitzi oysam karish mehechol melech Babel. U'mosham, he delivered them liad shash shesh batzar, Daniel, sheshmo, kach, to Daniel. He gave it over to Daniel, v'hoivil himo, and Daniel brought them. V'hoilichoysam. Hanpek himo means, Rashi translates also, he goes back in Rashi, hoitzi oysam, he took them out of his temple, di fecho shemei, shehu hoya nasi, he was a nasi, ufechas, and a governor. V'nikra Shemo. Okay, so it seems from Rashi's girsa was not like we have with a sin. V'nikra Shemo Fecha. His name was called governor. Like today we call the president, the governor, the mayor, the speaker. We call people by their title, their government title. So here Rashi says with a shin, not with a sin. Okay, let's see the mitzudos in pasuk yudalit. The af damakelim shall beis elokim shall zov chesef. So the mitzudos keeps the order. First gold, then silver. Asher nivuchanetzach hoytzi min ahechol asher yushlam heviyosam mil ahechol shel huavoidas koychavim. Oh, so look at the mitzudas David. He is very explicit that when it says in the pasuk heichol, this means the pagan temple where they that means that the kelim of the very big nafkamina, that means the holy kelim of the Beis Hamikdash were, they turned into isur hana. They went something which was, yeah.
But the last word is fifth of them.
Okay, right. So yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Right, Nebuchadnezzar took the kelim out of the base. He's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the beginning of the Asher Nunun Asher Nebuchadnezzar. Hoitzi min ahechol Asher Yishlam v'heviosam el ahechol shel havodes koychavim. So the Mitzudas see David doesn't make any room for error. He learns the word hechol here means a temple for avodah zarah, not like there are different opinions. Is hechol means as palace or does it mean temple for avodah zarah? Asher Rashi is some. Rashi is vague. It's ambiguous. Hanpeik hoitzi asam yudalit in the mitzudos. Yudalit in the mitzudos. Hanpeik hoitzi asam koresh min ahechel shel bavel v'mosham liish. He gave them. He delivered them. So now koresh now is taking them out of that hechel and he's delivering them. He's handing them over liish asher shmo sheish batzar asher asahu l'moshel. He was appointed by koresh as a moshel. Well, we know that Daniel was appointed as a Moshel even before by Daryavesh and by Nebuchadnezzar. He always was appointed. Every government wanted him to serve. He was very talented. He had always had an appointment by every government. Okay, pass what?
Except for
Achashverosh.
Not necessarily, by Yavo Hasach.
He was cut down. He was cut down. So you have to analyze different opinions of who was Hasach and Nechanami. What happened to him at that point in time?
They say that they sent him so
far. But that was later, right?
For the last 40 to be away from the palace.
Stay away, okay? Okay. So that's
one of the drugs.
Yeah?
Hasach had mentioned gold first.
Yes.
That was what was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash, that pasuk is talking
both.
About.
The gold kelim, yeah.
But that pasuk is talking about going towards Bavel.
Right.
Going towards Eretz Yisrael, it was the silver.
Yeah, but
the predominant thing was that when he raided the Beis HaMikdash, the gold was predominant.
Uh-huh.
But he gave it back.
The silver. Silver.
That would account for why Achashverosh had utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. Supposedly he gave it back. It was given back before.
Oh, so we discussed that.
He was retained.
So we only gave back some of them, but we discussed that. So not all of them. Uh-huh. Okay, right. That's discussed. How exactly that question. How could he have had those kelim? They were given, not all were given back, just some. Right, that's a good point. Okay, so predominantly the gold, only the silver, he kept the good stuff for himself. Okay. Okay, let's see. Tesvav. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tesvav. Va'amar lei. What did Koresh say? Koresh in the first year of his malchus, 52 years since the Churban, 70 years since the Pekida, since the time of Golus Yehoyakim. Va'amar lei. Koresh said, El. Okay, so we have the word Eleh, and we read it El Monaya. These are the Kalim. I testify that these are the Kalim from the Beis Hamikdash. Say, carry them, pick them up. Ezel, take them. Aches, bring himo them. It's incredible. There are three words. I don't know the significance. There's very a lot of verbosity, but there's a lot of depth. Say to pick up the kalim, ezel, and aches. Three words which have a same connotation. Take, here they are. Transport them in a dignified way back to the Beis Hamikdash himo. The Heichla di Virushlem to the Heichla in Yerushalayim, Uveis Elokaa, yeah, the Virushlem, Uveis Elokaa Yisbenei Al Asrei, and may the bias of Hashem be built on its foundation. We build. So here, there's an explicit mention. He's telling him, they're writing the letter. The people in the letter are writing that they are telling Sheish. Daryavesh, that Koyresh explicitly gave permission not only that the Migdash shall be rebuilt, Uveis Elokai Yispenei Alasrei, the Migdash shall be rebuilt on its previous location. And in addition to all that, this previous Psukim, he even gave us the Kalim, even in return, gave us the Kalim. Okay, let's see Pasuk Tezvav in the Rashi. Tezvav Amar Levi, Kachamalai Koyresh Lashesh Batzar, so said Koyresh to Shesh Batzar to the Nil, Eila HaKalim, Kach Velech, take them and go. The Hoyredo son the Hechel and put them down in the Hechel Hashem Yerushalayim with a so shell HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yehei Bonui Al Mekomo shall be rebuilt. Let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Kazov Yamalei Vyamalei Eila Hakelim Kechom, take them the Lech V'Hanach Hesam BeHaHechel Hashem Yerushalayim Uveis Elokim Yivnei Al Mekomo HaRishon shall be built in its previous location. And before we go further, I want to just mention a point. There are two different types of binyanim. There's building for the first time, and then there's something called rebuilding. The concept of rebuilding is the concept of yibum. What is yibum? Yibum is where a brother comes along and he rebuilds the bias of his brother. His brother created a bias, not just a physical bias, but he had a wife, and then there was a tragedy. The bias was choraf. The Rosh HaBayis died, and he did not leave over children, but he left over an almana. And a woman, the wife, is the Ikeres HaBayis. But without a husband, the Bayis is Choraf. And what is Yibum? That the oldest brother, Vahoya HaBachar, HaBachar, should come and should rebuild. The deeper idea behind Yibum is the idea of to rebuild something which is Choraf. And that is the difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Now the Bayis Shlishi, it's not clear, it's more of a hybrid. On the one hand, but the Bayis Rishon is you are building for the very first time a Bayis LaHashem. The Bayis Sheni is not, it's not a new Bayis. It's to rebuild the Chorban of the bias, to rebuild the bias that has fallen. It's not a new construction. And you see that theme over and over here in Ezra. It's always, we're going to rebuild the old bias. They're not coming to, okay, the bias Rishon was a tekufa. Let me give you an example. The bias Rishon is not the rebuilding of the Mishkan. There's a Mishkan, and there's a bias. They're two separate things. We're not rebuilding a larger Mishkan, even though the Mishkan was destroyed. With the Mishkan, Gilgal, it's not, according to the Midrashim, it's not clear what happened to Gilgal. Gilgal was for the first 14 years is where the Mishkan stood. What happened? They just took it down in peace? Not so simple. There are opinions that it was destroyed. Shiloh was certainly destroyed. Noiv Givon, it's not clear in the Pesukim what happened to Noiv Givon. The Mikdash is clearly not a rebuilding of the Mishkan. It's a new structure. It's a much different.
What was the expression?
To rebuild. So one may be misled to believe, just like, I mean, this obviously requires a lot more explanation, but one may be misled to believe that just like the Bayis Rishon is a new type of structure, and it's not considered to be the rebuilding of the Mishkan. maybe the Bayis Sheni is also a new type of structure. And in fact, you go look at the Psukim, you look in Sefer Melachim, and you see how it was, the dimensions and the way it was constructed, it's completely different than Masechta Midos. Masechta Midos is Masechta Yoma is describes in great detail the structure of the Bayis Sheni. It's a world of a difference. Everything is different about the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Rishon. So maybe it's a new structure. No, that's a mistake. The Bayis Sheni is a rebuilding of the Bayis Rishon. The Parsha of Yim only appears in Chumash Shemos. And the Dvarim. It's very interesting. That how could it be that Mishneh Torah, L'chayra, is only supposed to repeat the mitzvos that appear in the first four Chumashim? And yet in Chumash Dvarim, we have new mitzvos. We have divorce. There's no such concept of divorce in the first four Chumashim. There are a whole collection of mitzvos that do not appear in the first four Chumashim, only appear in Chumash Devarim. And one of them is Yib. Even though we do have with Yehuda and Tamar, and there, okay, but those are more, it's not explicit. It's more of a medrash, it's more of a deeper understanding of the psukim. But as far as being one of the Tayag mitzvos, it's not present in an open form until Chumash Devarim. Why? Because Chumash Devarim is the Chumash of Golos. The first four Chumashim are the Chumashim of Geula, of what is ideal. In the ideal, perfect world, no one gets divorced. Doesn't happen. Everything, when it's happy and pleasant, there's no machloikis. This is ideal. This is a world of bliss. But Golos is a very strong reality, and that is Chumash Devarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is preparing them for Chumash Devarim, presenting there what needs to be done in times of Golos. There's divorce, there's machloikis, and there are times of Churban. And when there's Churban, there must be you must rebuild. After every tkuf of Churban, you have to go rebuild the Churban. And that is what Yibum is all about, and that is really what the Bayis Sheni is all about. The Bayis Sheni, the bigger picture of things, is the Yibum of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, so that's why you see this idea over and over, Ubeis Elokah Yisbinei Al Asrei, shall be built in its place. We're not building a new Beis HaMikdash. We're not, Yerushalayim, we had bad mazel there. We'll go build a Mikdash in Tel Aviv. We'll go to Beis Shemesh. No, we are rebuilding the old structure. This is Yibum. This is Chumash Devarim. And that's a theme that we have to appreciate as we go through the Pesukim. Yeah.
Yeah, he says that, in reference to what we said in the last Pasuk, that after the mice of Daniel and Baal Shem,
yeah,
they returned all the Kalim because everybody was very nervous.
Really? So during the 14 years...
After that, they took it out, and then after that happened, everybody got a little...
They returned, many of them returned, they went back...
Very superstitious about touching the Kalim, until they had the new Cheshbon by Achashverosh, took them out of the Kalim, the new Cheshbon of 70 years came.
So it's very fascinating. So you say from the Malam is they actually returned the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash all the way.
It.
Okay, it's a very, very fascinating point. Okay, very good. Pasik, you want to say something, Michal?
I'm just thinking, I've heard the opposite opinion that the first four books of the Torah represent Golas, and that the fifth one represents Geula.
Okay, I am Panim LaTorah. You always,
I've heard it, but I.
Okay. But I think there's definitely a lot of sources for this idea that Chumash Devarim is Moshe's preparing. Moshe's now realizing he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he has to be. If I'm not going to be there with you, you're goners. You're not going to survive. You're not going to have a leader to really put you in your place. And let me give you some mussar and let me lay the foundation of what you need to know for the coming gula. Okay, pasik. So that concludes. Okay, then let's go forward. Then the pasik tezayin. Edayin then sheish batzar deich. Deich means this person sheish batzar, referring to Daniel. Asa he fulfilled the command of Koresh. Asa he came yehave. Ushaya divase eloka divushalem. He established the foundation He put down the walls. He listened to the command of Koresh, and he came to Yerushalayim. Also, he came Yehav. He put down. He laid the foundations. Yehav. He laid Ushaya the walls, the foundation. Vives Elokah Divi Yerushalem Umin Adayin Viad Kaan. And from then until now, Mispinei, the process of construction has begun. The law Shalim, but never was never concluded. Is incomplete because someone made trouble, the Aseres Bnei Haman made trouble 14 years ago and they complained and Koresh issued a stay. Let's see the Rashi in Pasuk Tezayin. Edayinos, Sheish Batzar Deich. Deich means this. This person came and he established the walls of the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi here is very precise. Rashi calls it the bias, what? The Pasuk Tezayin. The walls of the Beisoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher B'Yushalayim, Numi Oz V'Yarata, Hoya HaBayis Banui, it was the construction process begun. V'loy Nigmar HaBinyan, did not, was incomplete. Let's see, the Mitzvah's Pasuk Tezayin. He came here. He came to this land. Teret Yisrael. V'nosen hayisoid. He laid the foundation. Shalbeis elokim hashem Yerushalayim. Umin oz v'yarata. From then until now, boinim bo, they have been building. V'lo nishlam adayim. It's not yet complete. Now, what it appears is something very interesting. The way Rashi and the way the Pasuk and Rashi just present is that nothing has changed. And that's really what they were saying. We have permission to build a Beis HaMikdash. We received permission 14 years ago. It's just that in construction, you know, there are always hiccups. You always get, oh, we have a problem. We need to go call in an expert. We discover something that we were not aware of. And we need to get a new permit. And we need to get a new specialist, a new plumber, a new this.
Money wasn't there.
Like, you see all these... So it's just like, you know, you pass all these places, these construction sites, and, you know, you see the steel is there. And years go by, like, what's going on over here? How come the steel, the skeleton is here, and how come they never conclude the project? So, there, if we look at the psukim, there's no real mention in the letter. It's a very interesting letter. There's no mention that Koresh issued another decree that it should come to an end. Like, you're leaving out of this letter a major chunk of history. What really happened? What really happened was Koresh gave permission that it should be built in the first year of his Malchus. 70 years since the Bekida. And everything until now. And then 3 years later, there was someone called Tatnai, and there was someone called Ruchum and... No, that was the synagogue. Was the Ruchum and Shimshai the Safra, Ruchum and Shimshai the Safra, and nine major nations, plus the entire Chenes, the whole region of Chenes, which is Canaan. The whole world, the whole Aver HaNor got up and they wrote a sitna to Koresh, and they said the Jews are rebelling, they're going to conquer the whole region, they're going to destroy your palace, they're going to take away all your money. And then Koresh sent another letter, and in the other letter it says, quickly put a stop to that. All of that is left out. In this letter, there's no mention of that, the third year of the Malchus of Koresh. All they can say is, in the first year Koresh gave permission, everything was fine and good. And then, you know, construction can take 20 years. Look at the Freedom Tower. It's still not, how many years is it since 9/11? It's been already 12 years? 12 years, it's not finished yet, far from finished. So, even the memorial is not 100% complete. So, construction takes time. We started, so what's the complaint all of a sudden? It's 14 years since it's 18 years since we started. So construction takes a long period of time. There is no mention in this letter of this major complaint and the sitna of the entire world. We enumerated nine nations who complained to Koresh. Very strange. And what's so strange is they don't even, Daryovish doesn't even know about this. They didn't study history. It's only 18 years ago. And what's even more bizarre is who's writing the letter. The letter is being written by enemies, people who are making complaints. It's written by Tatnai and Shesar Boznai. Tatnai and Shesar Boznai and the Afarchis Soyei and that other one nation, only one nation survived from those nine nations, they are writing the letter in complaint seemingly. And we learned yesterday, we read in between the lines all the various words which refer to various degrees of rebellion that the Jewish people are doing against the Persian government, and therefore you should put an end to the construction. You would think if they're writing a letter of complaint to Daryovesh to put an end to the construction, they would certainly mention this major event which happened in the third year of Koresh, that the whole world got up in arms and the Jews are rebelling. No. Quiet. No mention whatsoever. Permission was given, and we're in the middle of the process. So why all of a sudden now are you complaining? It is something very interesting why this has been left out of the letter. Seemingly there was either the enemies were all put to death in the time of the Purim story. The Aseres, Bnei Haman, and all of their companions were put to death, so they were not alive. They were not around to complain. Or, as we really mentioned, really going back, all goes back to Pasuk Hei. And that is the Yesoit of the whole Sefer Ezra. The whole Yesoit of Sefer Ezra is Pasuk Hei. The Ein Elo Kahom Havos Al Saveh Yehudoye. The eye of Hashem was upon the Zakenim. Hashem had Rachmanis, they had Siyata Deshmaya, Hashkacha, an unusual Hashkacha, and everything worked out for their benefit in order to succeed in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And this whole, all of these details are not mentioned here in this Pasuk. Okay, Pasuk, let's see, Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Zayin, let's try to finish the parak, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lucha'an, now, Hein al Malko Tov, if it is like Im al Hamelech Tov. So same exactly, but here it's in Aramaic, Ucha'ana now. Hein if al Malko Tov, it's good to the king, Yisbakar. An investigation shall be done. Launch an investigation. Appoint a commission. Right? Appoint a commission and make an investigation. Conduct interviews. Spend $1 billion. Point a czar. Go back to the records. That's right. Yisbakar, make an investigation. Bebase gin zayo di malka in the archives of the king, the Geniza. Okay, in the Persian Geniza. We have now. You told me the Afghanistan Geniza, after the Cairo Geniza. Bebase gin zayo di malka in the treasure houses of the king in the archives. Tamavir. Divavel. There are many archives. Go to Bavel. And Bavel is where you'll find it. Samadir. Div Bivavel in Bavel. Hain, I challenge you. Isai, is it true? Isai means Yesh. Im Yesh. The words Hain Isai in Hebrew are translated as Im Yesh, if it's correct. Dimin Koresh Malkos Im Te'im. If we challenge you to prove us otherwise, find out if it's really true that Koresh, the king, Sim, he issued Te'im a decree, an order, Lemivne Beis Elokah Deich Birushalem. If he did indeed order a permission that this Beis HaMikdash should be built, we're certain that if you will check into the records, you will find that in the first year there was an order given by the king of Persia to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And as we know, that anything, what's the pasuk in the Megillah? Any melech val korei, what's the pasuk in the Megillah? In the Megillah, any a decree that the king makes cannot be annulled, cannot be changed. Ain lahashif. So you find that it was decreed, you can't go back on it. And let us know what you have to say. Let us hear your opinion, your feelings concerning this matter, and report back to us the will of the king concerning this matter. Yishlach alena, send to us. Let's see Rashi pasuk Yizayin. Let's just finish up Yizayin Rashi uchaan viata now im ala melech tov yadaver yaduol muvuka beveis genozav. Let the thing be known and be inspected, Bebeis Genozav Shal Melech Hashem Sham Bevavel, which is in Bevavel in the archives. Haini Sai Im Yesh Hamaisa Hazeh Hashem Yipi Koresh Yetzei Dover Livnos Bayi Zasher Bishem. If it's true that Koresh did issue a decree that it can be rebuilt, Urus Malka Ritzoin HaMelech, Urus means the will, and the will of the king, Al Alkach Yishlach Aleinu, send us Aleinu Aleinu. The word Aleinu is equivalent to the word in Hebrew Aleinu. Ad Kan Michtav Hoigeres Asher Sholchu Tatna Tatnai Ushasar Boznai. This is the end of the letter that Tatnai Ushasar Boznai and the Afarchos Soyeh and their companions Uchinavos Sehon sent to Daryovesh, the son of Esther Hamalka. We have different opinions how old he was. Some say he was 10 years old. Some say he was 6 years old. Some say he was much older. He wasn't really the child of, if he was a child of Esther, he couldn't be more than 6 to 10 years old. And if he was not a child of Esther, he could be much older. But this was the end of the text. Let's see over here the Mesudas Pasuk Yud Zayin. If you want, Yisbakar Yichupash. Inspect the Yichupash of the sin. I'm sorry. If it's true that Koresh the king issued a decree, live no space, Elokim Zebi Yushlaim, Ur Us Uritsoin Hamelech, Al Zos Yishlach Elin Ratzlemar, Yoimar Daita. Let him tell us, let Daryovesh tell us what he thinks, what his will is. Im Gam Cheftsoi Bebinyon, although if he will allow the construction to continue or not. Yes.
I was just wondering if it says also this
yes.
Maybe he wrote things sometimes that
won't be tabas. Uh-huh. So then you can go back.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I think the first one, going back, most of the first one that this
was. That anything he wrote was
Nechtam. That's pretty much the assumption. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Yeah. It's a much weaker argument this time around because you don't have. They're not bringing in. The tax argument,
the whole section is missing.
Argument, all that stuff is no longer valid.
Exactly, it's a very lightweight letter.
They're back to a technical, a technicality.
They're not coming with a sitna. It's not here described as an accusation. It's just a technical report of what's going on, and they're leaving out also to the favor of the Jews. They're leaving out that entire that record of the sitna, and they want to know what should Kitabin. Okay, so we'll stop here with Perek Vav.